Why, yes, it's time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. He's being very flexible here with us on a Wednesday, normally on a Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118th North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, I know you'd be in a little better spirits, although you're Mr. Positive, no doubt. You always look at the glass half full instead of half empty. So you're going to have to help spin this for us a little bit, I guess, because people obviously bummed out, KU fans, of losing USC, and not just losing, but losing by 34 points, 85-51 to USC. So spin, give me a quick spin of how we got to think positive after that tough loss. Help me out.
Well, thanks for having me on. And certainly that's a tough one to put the positive spin factor on. But I think the overarching positivity is that, hey, in a really bizarre year unlike any we've ever seen, with all kinds of challenges unlike we could have ever possibly forecast, this team finds a way to win 20 games yet again for a 32nd straight year, go to the NCAA tournament for a record 31st straight year. They finish second in a really competitive league. They grab a 3 seed. Bill Self's never had no worse than a 4. They knock off the number one undefeated Baylor Bears when nobody else could at the time, and turn in a lot of exciting moments in the same season that Kentucky and Duke's fan bases didn't get any of that. And Carolina barely made it in the tournament before getting blown out themselves. And so in a year where, for the Blue Bloods, Michigan State's another example, early exit in the play-in game, not that I consider them a Blue Blood, I think they're second-tier blue. But in a year when the prominent programs, many of them really struggled, though this was not the postseason that any of us would have hoped for, you look at the sum of all the parts added together over the last 5 months, and we certainly were treated to more than what some of our contemporaries had. And I think it'll go down as, believe it or not, one of Bill Self's better coaching jobs.
Yes.
Over the course of the full season. Not obviously Monday night, but over the course of the full season, when you really look at what Kansas had athletically.
Yes.
and in terms of the normal talent that we would trot out there in a given year, to finish second in a league as good as the Big 12, to finish in the top 12 nationally in the polls, to have a 3 seed with this team, I think really speaks to a great job of defensive buy-in, but overall coaching out of Bill Self. And that, to me, is something that I'll probably remember, even though this particular team won't be remembered that fondly in the history books. That'll be something I'll remember in a really trying time when he had to adjust a lot of his normal style. He got more out of this club than probably what he should have, because I think we all agree they were overranked to start the year back in November, and where they finished is probably even better than what they deserve too, but that's the difference Bill Self makes when you add it all up.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be, and I disclosed this before I had you on, Brian, but I'll share it with you too. In my bracket, I had USC beating KU in the second round. First of all, when I pick KU to go deep in the tournament, it blows up my face and I jinx the Jayhawks. That's the power I have. But I had them losing to USC. I didn't have high expectations of how far this team could go. I felt like it was all about matchups. You know how it is. Every year we look at seeds, and that's not what it's really about. It's about matchups. And USC right away, when I saw the bracket, that was them, and I think Oregon was another one that I think would have given Kansas problems, and Garza's size would have given problems too. So and I might have been no matter what region they were in, but when I saw the bracket come out and I saw USC, I'm sitting there going, Kansas needs USC to lose. And even Bill Self admitted that later, is that we kind of were hoping that Drake would have been the team that we would have played, because they were short a point guard who was out due to injury. It just wasn't a good matchup at all for Kansas, and there's no doubt watching that game that USC had much more athleticism, especially with their bigs. And I sit here, and it's interesting how people overreact and freak out, and part of it is people that haven't watched KU play all year long weren't prepared for it. People that don't watch KU at all watch one game and they make a judgment on how the season was and how bad it was because they lost by 34. You lose by one, you lose by 34, you lost. All right, you're out. And I know it stinks to get blown out. You never really had a chance in this game, or so it seems. But at the end of the day, I agree with you 1,000%. I think Bill Self did do a great job with this team. This team was challenged offensively. I remember, 18, 19 points the first half at home against TCU, who's not a great team. I mean, this team, when McCormick was struggling early in the year, they had to make a lot of threes. You're putting a lot of weight on making a lot of threes, and then those threes kind of went away at times, especially in the month of January. McCormick started to come around. But you kind of knew McCormick against these big, tall, athletic guys like the Mobley brothers, and we saw it against Texas at times, that means other guys are going to have to step up. And when you don't have Jalen Wilson, who, let's in fairness, Jalen Wilson, that I mean, that's a tough spot. I mean, he hadn't practiced, and he shows up the day of the game. And what McCormick did make that even more impressive against Eastern Washington. I just felt like Kansas was up against it throughout the year. And then the timing of COVID, I don't want to make excuses, but that did not help, obviously, as you had some momentum going into the Big 12 semifinals, didn't get to play that. I just think all in all, it was a tough year, and considering what they had to go through, and they were an underdog, people forget this, going into the game anyway, I think KU fans should be actually pleased with how the season went. I know it's really a bummer to end like that, though.
Now, well said, and you certainly broke it down well there. And yes, we were underdogs. Vegas only missed this one by 32.5 points. They were on it. But no, it really was a bad draw for us, and we saw that when the bracket came out. If there was, you know, one team in the West region that was underseeded, it was USC. Yeah. And if there was one team whose length and athleticism was going to give Kansas fits more than any, it was the team we had to play in the second freaking round. Yeah. And I went back and looked at it in our streak of 14 straight first-round victories, which is impressive in and of itself. Think about some of the blue bloods that make it into the dance but get knocked off on the first day. Kansas has avoided that for a decade and a half. The days of Bucknell and Bradley are long in the rearview mirror.
Right.
But my point is, other than Wichita State in 2015, who was ranked 14th in the country, this was probably our toughest second-round draw in that decade and a half stretch. Usually, keep in mind, Kansas was a one seed 8 years out of 12 and would have been 9 out of 14 had we had a bracket last year. Usually in the second round, you're dealing with an 8 or a 9 seed. This was a team that many felt on Selection Sunday should have been a 5, maybe even a 4. Hmm. So to play that right out the gates in the second round, like you said, for some casual observers that hadn't seen Kansas play much this year, and they're like, why are we getting drilled by a team in the second round? But this is a team that absolutely, you know, could go to the Elite Eight and put a threat into Gonzaga. I mean, Oregon and USC is going to be a fascinating 16 matchup because they finished percentage points away from each other in an unbalanced Pac-12 schedule where Oregon was named the champion, but in the win-loss plus-minus, they were actually even. It was just win percentage by decimal points that gave Oregon the title. These are really good teams, and as the Pac-12 has shown at 9-1, so much for the Big 12 versus Big 10 talk. My goodness, Pac-12 is the conference that's, that deserves the most credit right now, and so anyways, you know, back to Kansas. I think that, as you said very astutely, it's all about matchups this time of year. And this is a Kansas team that, historically, we would be much more athletic. We'd be much deeper at the big man position to where if David is not yet at full strength or he's not performing, you've got more than Mitch Lightfoot to put in there to try to go toe-to-toe with an Evan Mobley. And going back to the point about second toughest, second-round game we've had in the Bill Self era, I mean, when do you ever play the potential number one pick in the draft the second round?
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
But to my point about Mitch, and that's not to throw any shade at Mitch, but on Bill Self's national championship team, the number four big man was a future lottery pick named Cole Aldrich, who came in off the bench to give Tyler Hansbrough all he wanted and more. That was your fourth big, okay? This Kansas team, after what happened with Silvio and, you know, recruiting's obviously been difficult the last 2 or 3 years. We're not where we hoped we would be. We just don't have that kind of depth. We don't have that kind of length. And to be fair, it's a team that's athleticism at certain spots isn't what it normally would be. Now, there is help on the way, and I'm excited about some of the kids we've signed. I'm excited about the possibilities that exist in the transfer portal. We can't talk about those. But Bill Self's going to get this thing fixed. But you made a comment earlier that I thought was interesting because Bill Self never says this, but you referenced that in the post game on Monday night, Self mentioned, you know, I'd never say this to our kids, but we would have been okay with Trey Quinnen versus USC based on the matchups. You'll never hear Coach Self say that kind of, you know, revealing, transparent, you know, top-of-the-mind type thought about his team's athleticism differential, because usually Kansas is the one that's imposing its athleticism will, and that really speaks to how this group wasn't nearly as equipped as they normally will be, and it speaks to the great coaching job that Bill and his staff did to get them as far as they went. Now, the next task for this all-star Kansas coaching staff is to, you know, retool a bit and replenish, you know, at key spots to get a little bit longer, a little bit more athletic, and hopefully, therefore, go a lot of bit deeper in the future NCAA tournament.
One more question for you before the off the wall, and we're talking Brian Haney, voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. I've seen the stats. I've looked at how the teams that have ended KU seasons over the last so many years, their three-point percentage, how efficient teams have been. Is that just a coincidence? Is that pure luck? Obviously, if KU knew what to do to fix it, they would have fixed it by now. I mean, it is pretty alarming how high percentages are for some of these teams shooting threes. And I still say USC shot the ball so well. You know, Isaiah Mobley was 4-for-4 from three. They're up 19 at halftime. A lot of these wide open threes were in the second half. You take away the seven threes outside Isaiah Mobley, they still win by double digits. So I don't feel like three-point shooting really was the difference in the game per se. I think it was the Mobley brothers that were the biggest difference. That set the tone. But what about that situation? You look at these losses and these teams and shooting the ball so well, it almost seems like it comes down to three-point shooting. I remember games where KU couldn't buy a bucket. You know, BCU is a game that comes to my mind. And then, you know, Oregon was 1 year in Elite Eight in Kansas City. And then other teams shooting lights out like VCU or like a Villanova in the Final Four. And then, of course, the percentages that USC did the other night. Is there anything to it, or is it just pure coincidence?
Well, I think it's largely coincidence, because it's certainly not unique to the Bill Self era. I think back to the last game of the Roy Williams era, and a little kid named Jerry McNamara
hit
his first half threes.
Oh, from way downtown.
He's a good shooter.
Yeah.
He's a good shooter, but nobody forecast 6.5.
No.
In a half.
Right.
And so the other night, you know, with Isaiah Mobley, he had attempted, just 33s all season, averaging one attempt a game.
Yeah.
He had made 12 all season, and he has 4 makes in one half. I mean, it's beyond the scouting report, it's beyond the box score, and it does always seem like it happens to Kansas in that regard. In this case, you know, there's not a whole lot you could say they could have done better to defend the three. If you're playing the percentages, you're at least getting a hand up on him.
Yeah.
You don't expect him to go off for 4. You know, Ali Farouk Manesh back in 2010, that's a guy you knew was going to try to fill it up from 3. You're talking about Northern Iowa and Kansas losing in the second round in Oklahoma City. You knew he had it in him, but that's a perfect example of where the setting and the stage, the magnitude of the moment, when presented to an upstart type team with a hot shooter, they rise to the occasion, and that guy just throws him in because this is my one shot at Kansas, my one shot at immortality in the tournament. And maybe we have more of those pile up against us than other schools because we are the hunted, not the hunters, and we are so often in the dance to be in that position.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it is kind of uncanny when you start to go back and look at it. I don't think it's anything schematically. I don't think it's anything you can point to about this style or that style or not defending the three. It's a matter of some guys going off against us, and that's not unique to this current staff or regime, because it certainly happened to Roy's boys as well.
Yeah, and I remember a tall center for Northern Iowa that hit a few threes early in a game, and that was not at all in the scattering report. So there's another example of what you're talking about. All right, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go. This one really is probably going to be very simple, and that is, after losing by 34 on Monday, KU fans, you probably need to have a good laugh. You know, you just got to feel a little bit better. Just get away from whatever it was that's ailing you, whether it's a 34-point loss or whether your tournament bracket is just, you know, blown to smithereens like mine is. You just need a good laugh. So, Brian Haney, my question to you is, who is your favorite comedian of all time? What's your go-to for a laugh? Is there a comedian or maybe a good friend who's a go-to for a good laugh to make you feel better?
Wow, that's good stuff. Gosh, I'm trying to think, because I do love comedy. I love going to comedy clubs.
Me too.
I'm in bigger cities, and I love seeing improv, and I'm trying to think of a number one guy overall. Man, that's a good one. I grew up listening to Eddie Murphy Raw CD probably when I was too young to get into it. That was hilarious.
Right.
I listened to the Jerky Boys prank phone call CD.
I remember those.
Back when that was probably inappropriate, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are always fun. It's interesting how we've, like, ingested our comedy media over the years. There were, you know, CDs. Now, of course, it's all YouTube clips.
Right.
But I love seeing the shows when the acts come through town. And probably the best one that I saw recently, and by recently I mean maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, but Aziz Ansari came through Lawrence and performed at the Leap Center. Mm-hmm. Of course, fans will remember him as Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec, and he's been on other shows like Second to None on Netflix, and just hilarious. So if you ever get a chance to see his stand-up, he's pretty fantastic. But man, there's some good ones out there. And now that the off-season's upon us and I actually have time to binge-watch TV,
I think I need to unload
the Netflix catalog here and see what else they've got on stand-up guys, because that's definitely a good way to relieve some bracket-busted stress and just kind of get a chuckle and feel better about life.
No doubt, man. Hey, appreciate you being flexible this week. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, my man.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks as always, buddy.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen, Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.